This is the WGNS Action Line, talking with Rutherford County newsmakers about what matters most to you. Now, your host, Scott Walker.
Right now that time, 8:13, you're listening to WGNS on this Monday morning. In studio with us today, we have Sarah Callender, Executive Director of Main Street Murfreesboro, and local historian Bill Jakes, also with us this morning. And I guess starting off, Sarah, tell us a little bit about Main Street Murfreesboro for those who may be new to the area.
Yeah, so Main Street Murfreesboro is a nonprofit 501c3. We are part of the National Main Street Program. So we are credited each year through the National Main Street Program, but we are going to be celebrating 40 years next year. So 40 years of downtown revitalization. We focus on maintaining, enhancing, and promoting the historic downtown as the heart of our community. So really working with local small businesses and then creating a sense of place so people come downtown.
Man, it's hard to believe 40 years then. Yes. That's wild.
And Bill, you've been a part of it the whole time, right?
Well, not the whole time.
Bill was 80 years old.
I did spend 6 years on the Main Street Board, though. Mm-hmm. That was a big chunk of it if you look back at that.
Yeah.
So looking back, I guess, Bill, with you, you have really looked into a lot of the history of Murfreesboro downtown and really all over.
So, well, you know, actually downtown was the basis of me getting involved in historical research. When I moved downtown and lived in an old house downtown, I started digging, and that just kind of led to other opportunities to research other things and published a couple of books, and it's just all kind of based on living in downtown Murfreesboro.
You know, there's something about when you live close to something historic like the Murfreesboro Square, you want to learn more about the area.
Absolutely. It's so interesting, you know, living in an old 100-year-old house, all the people that came before you and, you know, their positions working on the square at different locations. And I just find all that so interesting, and it's really neat to connect to all that sort of stuff.
So like your house, as an example, dates back over 100 years, so 1900s. Were you able to figure out, you know, who lived there and what they did for a living? I mean, did you go that deep?
Yeah, this is the second house on Manny Avenue that I currently live in. I've been on Manny for 20 years, and the house I live in now was owned by Herbert Smith and his family for over 50 years. Herbert was the son of A.L. Smith, so, you know, the popular A.L. Smith drugstore on the square where Henry's Florist later moved. So it was, you know, it was really neat to connect to that and meet descendants of Herbert's family and that sort of thing. And actually that whole connection to that house led to the second book I published. I found a lot of Civil War letters in the attic.
Oh, wow.
And those had been left in the old A.L. Smith building. And when Herbert retired, he left them in my attic, and somehow they just got left behind, and I found them after I had moved into the place. So
it's really cool when you find things like that.
Yeah, it was really neat to take it to that next step for me to read these letters that were all written, you know, to and from a family that lived on Spring Street during the Civil War, which is really the big reason I decided to publish all of that. It's like, this was just so fascinating. I had to share this with and get it out there to the general public, you know.
That's really cool. Now, Sarah, I know there is a lot of history downtown. We've got a small museum downtown as well, and there's even talks of a larger version of that downtown Murfreesboro. And if that happens, I mean, what types of things, like, Bill, would you like to see in that museum, or Sarah, would you like to see in that museum?
Kudos to all the people that were, I know Bill was a part of it, Dr. Van West. They really worked with the mayor, the Rutherford County mayor, and put together that historic courthouse museum. So that would be neat if they could expand it. But, you know, we've got one of the oldest courthouses in the state.
That's right. It's so, one of, I think, six antebellum courthouses in the state of Tennessee that's still in use. And it's so great that they were able to use the downstairs of the courthouse as a museum. I actually serve on that board, and we are in talks about expanding it if the building that we are eyeing becomes available. And there'll be a great opportunity to expand on some of the displays that are already there that are pretty minimal now. You know, the I maybe like to call it ancient history, the Native American history of the town, which is pretty huge, but we only have a small display dedicated to that. We'd love to add more about the African-American history in Murfreesboro, but there are just a lot of little pieces in the current museum that we could really expand on.
Now, if I'm not mistaken, I know, for example, there were a lot of arrowheads found around Walter Hill Dam, that area. So were there a lot of Native Americans that direction, or where were they? You know, yeah. Throughout Rutherford County.
Well, I'm not a real expert on it, but I do know, like, what we know is Broad Street was actually an ancient pathway. This was hunting grounds for a lot of tribes that lived north of here, and they would travel down this way to hunt and gather. And of course, I know there were some tribes that probably were located here as well, but you can find arrowheads around most of the creeks and little waterways, you know, all around Rutherford County.
And Trail of Tears went through Murfreesboro.
Yeah, Trail of Tears passed through here. Probably some of that same Broad Street stretch of road that was, you know, or pathway rather, that was in existence. Was used to migrate folks out of here.
And I think a portion of the Trail of Tears is now, what, underwater at Percy Priest Lake? Because didn't it go through that area?
Yeah, that makes sense. Some of the Jefferson community and related lands around that area would have been flooded whenever they made the lake. That was, you know, Stewartsboro, I think, was one of the community names, but I can't recall all of them there.
Yeah, I was looking at a map of where Native Americans were, and it looks like the Middle Tennessee area was pretty big for, you know, Native Americans. I mean, there were a lot in this area.
Yeah, makes sense. Yeah. It's pretty fertile land.
Yeah.
Also, the Heritage Center is a great place, you know, to go over and see some historic stuff from Rutherford County. They do a really good job of having different displays. And right now I think they're focused on farming in Rutherford County, and the dairy industry that was really big in Murfreesboro and Rutherford County.
Yeah, that's true. The Heritage Center, before we had any other museum, they've had ongoing rotating displays over there. And good point, the dairy industry is another thing that we would love to expand on in the upcoming museum. That's a pretty huge part of our Middle Tennessee area there.
Hey, I mean, history in general is huge in this area. I mean, everything from the Civil War to Native Americans. I mean, there is a lot to read about, understand, and discover. And if everything goes as, you know, planned or talked about, do you think that new museum will be in the Goldstein's building, or what is?
Well, I'm not sure if it's completely public knowledge yet, but I'll go ahead and admit that is the building that we're talking about. That does house some county offices now, and there may be an opportunity for those to move into other buildings downtown. And so that ground floor specifically of the Goldstein's building could be where we expand the museum.
Yeah, I mean, what a neat building, because that building itself has so much history. What, first department store in Rutherford County?
Well, that's a good detail. I'm not certain I can confirm, but yes, certainly a beloved shopping place for a lot of folks who've lived here for many years.
And I guess the Goldsteins, from what I've read, it was an immigrant family that moved here, and I forgot where they moved from, but a big background there.
Yep. One of the many immigrant families who set up shop on the square and you know, became beloved merchants, along with the DeGeorge family and the Mishoto family, and there was a lot of great examples who really, you know, made their place in Rutherford County at the turn of the century.
You know, it's fascinating. And then you had certain, I don't know, characters, if you would, who really stood out in Murfreesboro when they moved here. And I know a lot of that surrounds Oakland's Mansion and the purchase of Oakland's Mansion, the sale of Oakland's Mansion, and so forth. But there are a lot of very interesting stories, and a lot of them could be part of the new museum if we get one.
Absolutely. Absolutely. That story of the Manny family and Oakland's is certainly something we could expand on. Of course, you know, James Manning, the director at Oakland's, does a good job of interpreting their story. And that, of course, Oakland's is such a gem. A lot of folks don't even know about Oakland's, especially newcomers who've moved into Rutherford County in the last 20 years. It's a beautiful thing down there at the end of Manny Avenue to just go take a trip back in time and take a walk through Oakland's and see what this town looked like, you know, 160 years ago.
And when you focus on the downtown square itself, I know, Sarah, you've seen a lot of growth there, a lot of new businesses come to the area, and a lot of, let's say, for example, lawyers' offices. They made, some of them moved whenever the new judicial building opened, and that allowed for more space for retail businesses and restaurants.
Mm-hmm. I love how, you know, you go back to the history of the downtown and you look at the repurposing of the buildings and just the generations, whether they stayed in a family or just different people moved in and took over the building. And even if they don't own it, the spirit of just making it better than when they first got there seems to be the theme for downtown. And the big one I think of is the Center for the Arts. I mean, gosh, it started as the first post office and then the first library, Line Ball Library, and then it was repurposed into a center, you know, for theater and the arts. And so we're working right now to try to get them a grant to add wheelchair accessible ramps and entrances to the front, because you've got to change with the times and make keep these buildings up.
And I know, you know, the Center for the Arts, that they're always expanding or they're growing like crazy, and they have to have several different, you know, playtimes and stuff. Mm-hmm. Do you think there's ever going to be a chance or a time where they're able to either expand that building somehow or maybe find a new location in the downtown area?
They do. That is a goal of theirs, to stay in the building itself, but to expand. I know they're working with other arts groups to try to get some state funding with collaboration with other groups to maybe create a larger theater for Rutherford County and Murfreesboro, because we could definitely use it, and they can't fit more than 150 or 200. I don't even think it's 200 seats in that theater.
I know the Murfreesboro mayor has talked about spreading local libraries out throughout Murfreesboro, and I guess it'd ultimately be Rutherford County because it's the Rutherford County library system. But if something like that occurs and they close down Line Ball in downtown, I wonder if that could be a potential location for an arts center.
Yeah, I don't know. I have heard talk about using that for government buildings if they did have that space opened up. I can't speak into that because I don't know if that's happening or not.
I mean, we're just somewhat limited, I guess, on mm-hmm. space for things like the Center for the Arts. Yeah. I mean, unless they were to build a brand new building.
Right, which is what they would probably have to do. But that's what's great about development. You know, when you have the spaces or the buildings that aren't necessarily the historical buildings, that it's okay if you tear those down. You definitely don't want to tear down any of the historical buildings. But on the outskirts of the downtown, that's where the development comes in, and you have extra space so that new entrepreneurs can come and have a location to set up a business.
And then speaking of tearing down buildings on the outskirts of the downtown square, of course, look out the back window, and you know, they tore down what used to be Shoney's, Longhorn Liquor. I'm not sure if they're still up. I think they tore that down too. Mm-hmm. Budget breaks and all of that to make way for the creek that's going to go through that area, which has been there for years. It's just been underground. But what do you think that's going to do for the downtown area?
I think that's amazing. I mean, I'm very supportive of that project. It's going to create green space, which we don't have a lot of downtown, and it's going to expand the downtown across Broad Street into the Cannonsburg area. And that's what people want. They want to be able to walk. They want to be able to go eat and shop, but they also want to be able to take their dogs and their families and kids. And so that's just going to be a beautiful entrance into our historic downtown.
Definitely. And that whole area called the Bottoms, that's an area that Murfreesboro really wants to see redeveloped mm-hmm. into, I think, well, they've talked about multi-purpose buildings there. They've talked about retail, restaurants. I mean, it would be a cool area if everything goes as planned over the next few years.
Right. And I love that they're still keeping the focus on, they're not getting rid of Cannonsburg.
Right.
You know, I mean, that's a gem for our downtown. But I think it just takes the right people to come in and invest in developing that area.
And there's going to be, I guess, a bridge over Broad Street as well, which would allow pedestrians to get to Cannonsburg when there's events happening there.
Mm-hmm. That would be the idea. And Bill, talking about history, like we talked about the Mink Slide is what most people know about it, when you're talking about different generations and families coming in downtown. Mary Watkins with the African-American Historic Association, their group is working on putting a plaque on Maple Street to honor those black business owners. I don't know if you want to talk about that.
Well, I don't have a ton of information about that, but Mary, she is a busy soul. She's advocating for so many groups in this town, especially the African American Historical Association, and they're doing a lot of good work and recognizing different historical locations that were relevant to the African American history in this town, and that plaque is something the wayfinding efforts that they're doing to kind of tell the story of different parts of the square where influential African Americans, you know, had businesses and things, that just really adding to the overall experience of visiting our downtown and enjoying the history of our downtown. I got to touch on the creek you're talking about too. I'm so excited about that project. I have a little bit of a connection to that one. You know, they tore down one of the buildings there, which was the old Long John Silver's, and I got my first job in town at Long John Silver's in 1986. So I had no idea we had a creek running underneath our building while I was there. But
I know it's wild because they've said that the culvert that goes under and behind these businesses, 7 feet tall or so, so you can literally stand up in them. Yeah. But they were, I guess because they're so old, the fear was, well, what if they crumble? I mean, it mm-hmm. literally would cause a sinkhole of sorts where those businesses are. So, I mean, it makes sense to go ahead and move forward with daylighting that creek now.
Yeah, and it's going to be just beautiful and a nice open natural space for the community, but just think of what it's going to give back to the natural life and the birds and things that will be able to take advantage of that water source. We've got the wetlands over mm-hmm. nearby. You know, it's just going to kind of expand that corridor for nature as well, you know, so we all get to enjoy that. And I'm so happy that Cannonsburg is going to continue to live on. And, we have an early museum over there. It's not accessible anymore, but there are a lot of beautiful artifacts in that museum that, you know, again, could expand into this next museum. So there's so many things unfolding with all these projects that are kind of interconnected, and it all just means great things for downtown.
It's wild. When you look at the idea of that creek downtown, I think it was San Antonio that has a little creek going through their downtown area, which is a neat idea. They also added a small boat where people could get on it and take a little short river trip, if you would. I wonder if that's something that could ever be done here. Of course, it wouldn't be a very long distance.
A little gondolier going from the Discovery Center to Cannonsburg.
Yeah. Add to the experience, right?
That's right, that's right. Now, what else is happening downtown? Because, Sarah, I know there's things coming up. There's events coming up. What have you got on your calendar?
Oh, a whole list of stuff. People need to go to our website, MainStreetMurfreesboro.org, and keep up with everything or follow us on Facebook. But I'll touch on just restaurants that are opening. I mean, if you've not been downtown, we've got 3 or 4 restaurants. Fire Korean Barbecue opened 2 weeks ago, right on Maple Street, and that was 2 years coming. And then Five on Black Kitchen and Spirit House, they already opened. I know they take reservations there where Tasty Table was. And what was it before Tasty Table?
Maple Street.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So it's right by the First Methodist Church. So that's a brand new restaurant. And then 1 of 19 is opening this Wednesday. So that's 3 restaurants that are brand new to the downtown.
Oh, I misspoke. You were talking about B. McNeil's over there.
Yeah, okay, yeah. B. McNeil's. I was like, wait, that's Maple Street.
Yeah, I was back on the Fire Korean again. Yeah. Sorry.
That's true. That was Maple Street Grill. I remember that place. But talking about events, this Friday we have the Borough Art Crawl. They're going to be coming downtown. They're doing something a little different. They're going around the courthouse. And so instead of spread out during for different businesses, they'll have all their artists right around the courthouse for the first time. So they're doing that all on their own this Friday night, 6 to 9. And then coming up in September, do you want me to talk about the September dates?
Yeah, what?
Do you have time? Okay,
yeah.
September 7th. I know they have a 9/11 Heroes Run. I think this is like the third one that they've done. So that's happening in the morning. And we're doing something neat that Saturday because, of course, we've got the farmers market that's still going on. But we're going to be busing MTSU students from the campus from 10 to 12, first time ever. and just bringing them and introducing them to the downtown. So if you are an MTSU student, even if you don't live on campus, come on September 7th and bring your ID, because all the stores are offering discounts for MTSU students. So we're going to have lots of games and fun things for them. Missy Lay will be out there doing a scavenger hunt. And then we're doing another downtown after 5 and chalk art contest. So if you're an artist, check out our website, because you could sign up for free.
And folks can actually draw.
Yeah, you draw a picture, you're assigned a block, and then there's judges and prizes. So chalk art. We've done this for 3 years now, and there's some gorgeous chalk art that's done around the square. So kids can sign up for that, or professional artists. And
that's neat.
Yeah.
And now I know you tried to integrate music more so around the square. Something, you know, you've always had music downtown Murfreesboro, but bringing artists in and actually have them play on the street corner.
Right. And do you know what that's called?
I remember what the name was.
Is it? Oh, yeah. Buskers. Busking.
So, busking.
They do it in other cities. So that's what we're trying to get the word out, busking. But if you play an instrument, just contact us, and you just put your hat out for tips, and we kind of put you on different sidewalks. And
you know, the cool thing about doing that is that you never know who's going to hear you playing. I mean, we're basically next to Music City, almost the capital of country music. So if you're out there playing and the right person walks by, then, you know, you could end up getting some kind of big deal for life, you know.
Good.
Which would be neat.
And you could thank Main Street when you're on the big stage.
All to Main Street. Here's $1 million donation.
I know it always confuses people for Friday Night Live, but it's not the first Friday in September. That's Labor Day weekend. Well, that's not even September yet, but it's going to be September 20th.
Okay.
So that's MTSU's homecoming weekend. So that Friday night, Biz and the everyday people are going to come downtown and perform. So make sure you get the right date.
The month has flown by. I mean, we're almost at September, starting next week, I guess.
That's right.
So it has really gone by fast for August. But back to the Saturday marketplace, that is going on up until what, the end of October?
Yes.
So every Saturday up until the end of October, the marketplace.
It's still happening.
We're going to take a short break, and when we come back, we'll talk more about downtown Murfreesboro. And again, our guests today, Sarah Callender and Bill Jakes, Main Street Murfreesboro, and Bill Jakes, real estate agent, but local historian as well. Right now that time, 8:36. Stay with us. We do have a lot more to come.
The Action Line on FM 101.9 and AM 1450 Murfreesboro, FM 100.5 Smyrna. Listen and watch at WGNSradio.com.
We're excited to announce that Capstar Bank is now officially a division of Old National Bank. All those friends you've made while banking here over the years, well, they're still there. And so are the delicious, warm, homemade cookies.
In Murfreesboro at 2230 Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard.
Everything you enjoyed at Capstar, still there at Old National Bank. Old National Bank, ready to serve you.
Old National Bank, member FDIC, equal housing lender.
Bob Ferris enjoys life at Adams Place.
I do physical therapy here and ride the bicycle. This morning I rode the bicycle for 20 minutes. At Adams Place, I enjoy the friendship. We have a good time.
Hi, this is Terry Deal at Adams Place. Call me for more information about Adams Place. Phone 615-904-9111. Adams Place, 1927 Memorial Boulevard, across from Walmart.
The Action Line on FM 101.9 and AM 1450 Murfreesboro, FM 100.5 Smyrna. Listen and watch at WGNSradio.com.
Time right now, 8:39. You're tuned to WGNS on this Monday morning. And with us in studio, we have Sarah Callender, Executive Director of Main Street Murfreesboro, and Bill Jakes, local historian. Now, we did have some text messages that I haven't gotten to yet, but the first one talks about, it says, I moved here from Nashville, and I was always impressed with a sculpture on the Nashville roundabout near Music Row, and Mayor McFarland often indicated that they had plans for a roundabout off of Northwest Broad Street leading into the downtown area. Do you think that will ever happen, and will it have an artistic feel to it?
I can speak into the wayfinding. They're kind of going the route of wayfinding instead of an art sculpture. The roundabout if they're referring to the roundabout on off of Vine Street or Lytle Street, mm-hmm. off of Broad and connects to Lytle and goes out. That's going to be a prominent wayfinding entrance to the downtown. And so they're actually doing a survey right now to see what people's favorite design is. They have four different designs.
As far as like a roundabout and...
It's going to be in the roundabout as an entrance to the downtown. So they're going to have one there, and they're going to have another one coming off of Church Street, one of the other streets over by Church Street. So there'll be two entrances, and then the whole wayfinding design will be downtown to show where parking lots are and how long you can park, where county and city official buildings are, because we don't really have that at all downtown. So the city is... paying for that.
Now, what is wayfinding?
Wayfinding is a way to, like, when you go into a city and you don't, it gives directional signage. So it tells you, like, the parking garage is one block up, you know, turn right. And so we don't have that. People, they had a study, and people come down to our downtown and they don't know where the parking garages are. There's not a lot of signage that tells you where the city offices are, where the county offices are, where Oakland's mansion is, you know, things like that. So they're that's a huge project that they're working on. Hopefully will start being put up in 2025.
Now, I know they mentioned the idea of sculptures. Is that something that you think we'll see more of downtown Murfreesboro in the future?
So we were able to get a grant last year to bring in some sculptures from Seward Johnson. And they were really cool, but sculptures are so expensive.
Yeah.
And, I'll just say I don't think that our city is focused on bringing art as sculptures into the area. I think they're putting that on nonprofit organizations to spearhead that. So I know the Rutherford Arts Alliance has raised money, and they have a heart sculpture that they have been looking for a location. They finally landed at the Discovery Center. So that's going to be put up pretty soon. But I think it's going to be a private...
Now, when you talk to other directors of Main Street programs in other cities, are they seeing a lot of the same or similar things as far as, let's say, government involvement and nonprofit involvement with the downtown areas out there?
Every downtown is different. A lot of the Main Street programs are independent, but quite a few are a part of the city government or the Chamber of Commerce. It's just kind of how the city is set up. If you look at cities that have more artwork, though, you're looking at Nashville and Chattanooga. That is part of their government. The arts group works very hand in hand with the government entity. I talked to the person who's in charge of all the artwork in Chattanooga, and they are a government employee, so they take care of it and they insure it, and it's a lot of work.
I love
Chattanooga's downtown with all their artwork.
Yeah, and they have the electric buses and everything down there. But it's a really cool thing to have artwork, especially by local artists, as you enter into like a downtown area. So if we could somehow get more of that, that'd be really neat.
Yeah, let's encourage our government to be supportive of the arts.
And now, speaking of government, Church Street is going to be, I guess, one of the main entrances to the downtown square. I mean, that's kind of the focus, it looks like.
With the Keystone Project, that will... Again, with a private developer and investors coming in to invest in those buildings, then that will be a main entrance into the downtown.
Now, are there any talks of any buildings in the downtown Murfreesboro Square area that may be torn down or, you know, completely redone, other than the Goldstein's building? Because I know that's already on the list, but is there anything else coming up?
There is talk of the Bank of America, and that is privately owned now, and I think, you know, a few years from now, maybe the goal is for that individual to put a mixed-use development hotel. I mean, that's what everybody says now, mixed-use hotel. I think that's what that person would want, where the Bank of America and right where that grass lot is beside Shacklett's. The property is all owned.
That would be cool. So you could even have it extend right there to the front of the square, so it'd be facing the courthouse, and that would be neat. And what's really cool is, I guess they would have to build, their design would have to be similar to what's already around the square, right?
Yeah, and it's tricky. Bill can talk into this. We don't have historic design guidelines in our city, and so it makes it really difficult.
Yeah, the Central Business District is actually, in the downtown area, the commercial space, it does not have the same historic overlay like the East Main Historic District. So while I can see the reasoning for that, you know, you don't want to put an undue burden onto businesses to try to keep up certain standards and things that can be very costly to doing business. There's probably room to expand some of that historic overlay and design overlay so that, you know, we can keep the feel of downtown like we want it. Because, you know, the Bank of America building and the old SunTrust building are two prime examples that they didn't really adhere to the designs that we're used to downtown. So some reuse of those spaces wouldn't hurt my feelings. Those buildings could maybe look a little nicer for our downtown. And of course, the hotel is something we've been advocating for since I was involved with Main Street. We all feel, even the city government agrees, that that's a key part that we need added back to our downtown community. Historically, we had many hotels in the downtown. There were multiples, the Haines, the Polk, the City Hotel, but we've lost all of those through the years when the interstates came through and moved the businesses, you know, further south down where I-24 came through. The business kind of moved away from the square and the hotels just went away. But we definitely need to bring that back. And of course, it's interesting. There was just recently news that MTSU is going to undertake that endeavor and potentially build a hotel over near Greenland Drive. So that'll certainly serve downtown as well as MTSU, and that's exciting news.
You know, it's a cool idea. I know there's other universities out there that have done similar things, specifically for, like, if they have a hospitality program or hospitality management program. So that's a neat idea. Now, in downtown Murfreesboro, it looks like we're getting a hotel for sure with the Keystone Project. And that hotel is going to be out our back window again. It's going to be, I guess, where the water department or that area where the water department is. So that's going to be one hotel in downtown Murfreesboro whenever that's built, which will be on Vine Street. But do you think this area could support multiple hotels?
I don't know. They've done some surveys, and, I mean, they have the backing of some really great hotel names, so...
Yeah, I think it's possible. You know, there are certain events that happen in Murfreesboro and in Nashville sometimes that'll book every hotel on the I-24 corridor. And so if people had the option to be downtown just a few miles away in this walkable downtown shopping district, I think they would opt to go ahead and stay downtown instead of on the interstate.
Yeah. And they look different. They're a boutique hotel is what they're talking about, which mm-hmm. is a different
like
setup.
Like 100 rooms or so? Mm-hmm. It's a little bit smaller than, I guess, the big chain?
Yeah.
Okay. And then also in downtown Murfreesboro, have you heard any updates on what's happening at One East College, which is across from Center for the Arts where First Methodist used to be?
I heard Shane on here last week being asked that question. I think he gets asked that every time he's on the show. I don't have any. I know that that's just, they're in a stall right now.
Yeah.
You know, speaking from a real estate perspective, I think the interest rates are one of the factors that have hurt these developments. You know, the cost of money just really went up, and they had big plans that were beautiful, but I think investors are just a little shy over the last couple of years.
When you look at the price of developing and building a large multi-use structure, 7% versus, let's say, 3-4%, you're talking about millions of dollars in difference of what you're paying. So there is a big difference there.
That's right. And our market really hasn't been proven yet. Like you said, you know, we don't know that the hotels will prosper, but we assume they will.
Going back to downtown Murfreesboro, Sarah, what has been the most fun?
Oh, I love the fall going into the Christmas season. The annual tree lighting, the Celebrate Christmas, is just, it really makes you feel like this is a small town. You know, you've got your school kids up on the stage singing and dancing, and it's just fun. Santa comes and the free pictures in the courthouse. I think people have the best memories from things like that, or even the concerts. It's people making traditions and memories out of meeting their friends and their family and sitting all generations together out in the street just listening to music. It's just cool. It makes you, even though our city's getting so big, it makes you feel a little bit Like, okay, it's not so big.
Now, I know there's been study after study talking about the growth of Murfreesboro, and it's going to hit at least 500,000 over the next, what, 10 to 12 years or so. And then it's going to go up from there. So it's hard to believe we're going to grow to a point where I bet we're going to have 1 million residents in Rutherford County at some point or another in the future. But do you think we'll still have that small hometown feeling on the downtown square?
I do, because of the Main Street program and because of people like Bill Jakes and you guys at WGNS. I mean, like, it takes people advocating to keep the historic downtown what it is with the growth. Like, you've got these families who are investing in these older buildings and putting new restaurants and having new life. So there's always something new coming downtown, but it still keeps that historic feeling. And I think that's important.
It is very important. And we had another text about a sculpture, the idea of a sculpture in downtown. I think more events and more programs like the Borough Art Crawl, I think that's going to help lead to more art naturally downtown.
Mm-hmm. And the Rutherford Arts Alliance, they just hired their first executive director. So I mean, I think they're really going to get some feet underneath them. And that organization is all about bringing all the different art groups and people who are interested in art to collaborate together and advocate for art in Rutherford County.
Now, when you look at the downtown area as a whole, Bill, if you look back in history, we used to have more department stores near the downtown square, maybe even on the square, but I think there was a Kane Sloan at one point, and I'm not sure what else we had.
Yeah, there was JCPenney's. It was a big chain store that was downtown. The Woolworths was downtown. I think you guys got your start maybe above the Woolworths building there.
Upstairs.
That's right.
I wasn't there at the time.
Yeah.
But it is fascinating to look back at not just Rutherford County, but a lot of communities across the nation. Everything that happened was on their square. And today, you've got so many choices of where to shop and where to go. I wonder if we're ever going to get back to that, to where people literally go to the square for everything for the most part.
I think it's happening. It's coming. You know, you go check it out on the weekends. You know, it was only 10 to 15 years ago, the square just kind of rolled up the rugs on the weekends. It was dead down there. And now it's just a hopping. It's alive, and all the little boutiques are just full of people, and it's really come back alive. I think a lot of that has to do with the restaurant options. You know, the downtown square is truly a destination. You don't have to just go for one reason. You can go park and kind of stroll along and spend the day and do a little shopping, get you a nice meal, and
go clubbing afterwards.
Yeah. There's that late night scene too. You know, they're after most of us go to bed, there's the college kids come down and enjoy the square in the evenings.
And they even converted what used to be an old bank. And now I know it was the DA's office for a while, but it used to be an old bank, and that's now a restaurant and bar, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and they're really successful. So that whole strip, Maple Street, Main Street.
Yeah, one of the many that's thriving there. You know, I've seen a lot of different versions of clubs through the years. When I was younger in the 90s, we had Sebastian's. I saw, you know, some national acts play in some of these venues at night. I think Liquid Smoke's been on the square for well over 20 years now. It's encouraging to see all these different types of businesses thrive on the square.
It is. It's interesting, and it is fascinating, the choice of restaurants, the choice of places to go shopping. I mean, we have really grown and gotten a lot of new places over the years.
Mm-hmm. And I think ever since COVID, people really focused nationwide on locally owned small businesses. They were probably a lot better about it right after COVID, when everybody was just paying attention to small business owners and how they were hurt through that pandemic. But that's what we're advocating for, is just to remember your small business owner. Sometimes it's a choice, you know, to turn off of Broad Street or Memorial and go into the downtown and choose to shop at a store that's locally owned, as opposed to going to a big box store.
While we do have some residents on the square itself, you know, living there upstairs maybe, or they converted and built an entire house along the square. Mm-hmm. But are we going to see more of that, or do you think we'll see less of that with some of the mixed use buildings where there's actually going to be apartments and condos?
Well, I really hope we see more of that. The hotels are great, but I hope a lot of these mixed-use developments do include condominiums, because that's a way to ensure that the community has a stake in you know, the ownership and the benefits of downtown. You know, we need the, what they call transient housing as well. The apartments are an important element, but I'm really an advocate for local ownership. So if we can bring the condominiums into these as well, that's going to be great, because the more people we have living downtown, the more people we have eating and shopping downtown. And so that benefits the local businesses. And it's just really a beautiful local initiative to keep your dollars in the community, you know.
And there's something neat about living downtown and being able to just walk out your front door to an event like Saturday Marketplace, mm-hmm. or to a concert, all in the square. That's a really neat thing, and it just feels good.
Yeah, the walkability element is actually what brought me downtown. I previously, before I moved downtown, lived on a busy street over off Clark Boulevard, and the big reason I wanted downtown was because I could walk out my doorstep and just go take a mile or two walk. I could go eat. I could go to the grocery store. All of these things without crossing a major artery. It lived up to the desire. It's been beautiful just living downtown. I can walk to Junior's within 2 minutes if I need some buttermilk on Sunday morning, you know.
Buttermilk.
It's so handy. You got to have it for those pancakes, you know.
Now, I know there have been talks about cutting down one of the large trees in front of the courthouse. Have y'all gotten any phone calls about that? I believe it's a sycamore tree, over 100 years old or
it's
something?
They call it a witness tree, you know, because it was planted by the Miller family, I believe, right after the courthouse was built in 1859. So it withstood, you know, the Civil War, the encampments on the courthouse. Everybody that's involved is pretty sad about this, because the tree is just unhealthy. It just simply is old, and there's some limbs that were dying that had to be cut out, and when they cut those, they realized there's some hollow places. Sycamore is an interesting species of tree. It needs a lot of water. You know, you usually see those things growing along creek banks. So even though it lasted all these years, and there's some good water sources underneath the courthouse, it's just not going to be a feature that we can enjoy much longer.
Now, I think they're trying to do some cutting technique in order to regrow a tree based on that tree's, I guess, DNA, if you would.
That would be really fun, and it, you know, a nice way to pay respect to that old tree and the family who was involved. You know, the Millers are still here in the community, and I think they just celebrated a big anniversary over at Miller Lowry and Beach, the insurance company.
You know, it's fascinating when you look at something as simple as a tree and you realize, you know, this has been here through civil wars, been through who knows what else occurred on the square, a submarine coming to the downtown square. I mean, just all kinds of, you know, everything from interesting to sad to weird.
Yeah,
it's all of it.
Yeah, it's beautiful how Murfreesboro likes to embrace our history, and it's just nice, like you say, as we are growing, to always remember where we've come from.
Again, our guests today have been Bill Jakes, local historian, and Sarah Callender, executive director of Main Street Murfreesboro. Thank you all for joining us this morning.
Thanks. This was fun, Bill.
Yeah, thank you. Thanks for having us.